It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back, quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Jim Galante still talking some Penn State Pitt, 17-10, the Nittany Lions win. They go 3-0 in the non-conference schedule, 3-0 going into their bye week. Big Ten play starts not this week, but next at Maryland on the road. We're coming to you once again from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We spent a lot of time in the previous Pitt review segment talking about Pat Narduzzi, talking about his decision to kick the field goal. And I, you know, we spent a good bit of time on it, but to me, it was the story of the game because it took the ball out of Pitt's hands. I understand that Pitt got the ball back. They had an opportunity, you know, not a terrible opportunity to try to tie the game back up again. Imagine what they would have been feeling like, you know, had they already tied the game up, how strategy would have changed there. Anyway, we haven't really discussed that much about Penn State and what they did or didn't do well. And I know, Jimmy, you had some beef with, you know, I guess you're looking at Penn State coaching in a broad sense here. Maybe not necessarily like individual play calls, although maybe that too. But the fact that this is a 17-10 football game when Penn State, you know, talent for talent, should be running laps around this Pitt team.
Yeah, exactly, Dustin. The Penn State, we were talking earlier off the air that Penn State has the superior talent throughout the roster. This should not be that close a game. As a Penn State fan, obviously happy they won the game. They're 3-0. But there were a lot of disturbing things during the game, and we get a lot of feedback with our Ask Ross and our Ask Greg segment. And trust me, my email box was full on Sunday from fans questioning some of the same things that we do. Noah Cain comes in, has a tremendous series, and we don't see him again.
Amen to that one, yeah.
And the issue was we were told, yes, there's a schedule, they rotate a certain way, but then they would ride the hot hand. Then we get a comment after the game, something to the effect of, yeah, gee, we said maybe we should have Noah Cain in there. Well, yes, you know.
Coaching, here's a secret for James and his staff. Coaching decisions need to be made before, you know, not making them after the fact, talking on the headset about it. It just doesn't count.
Exactly. And the one other call, which I went crazy at the time, and so did, I'm sure, most of Nittany Nation, was late in the game. Penn State has the ball. One more first down would have pretty much ended the game, and it was 3rd and 5, and they threw the ball long, very low percentage pass to begin with. Nobody was open deep. And James Franklin said, yes, somebody ran a wrong route. And, okay, someone ran the wrong route. It again falls on the coaches. There was another long pass where you had two receivers essentially side by side. Well, someone ran the wrong route there also. And yep. You know, yes, they're 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and they will make mistakes, but it's up to the coaches to drill those things in so they don't make those mistakes. And you also, Dusty, you were saying all you had to do was ask the question, my thoughts, and just let me go. Well, I'm going. I've got the momentum, and I have a theory. Last week after the game, after the Buffalo game, James Franklin, he was asked about the time of possession and so on, and he made the comment that that's essentially an old stat. There's not a great correlation between time of possession and winning.
Right.
There's a much closer connection.
Yeah.
Yes, it is, to explosive plays. So I get that too, and I'm very happy that he's aware of that. The problem is if you're coaching to that statistic, well, I don't have enough explosive plays. I'm up by 30 points, but it doesn't matter. I don't have enough explosive plays, so I'm going to keep throwing it deep. I'm being a little bit sarcastic there, but
yeah.
Did you get the feeling in this game they were looking, well, we don't have enough explosive plays, so we're going to throw the ball downfield. They never came close to completing one of those. Ironically, the explosive plays came when Journey Brown had an 85-yard run, and when Noah Cain was in, they scored a touchdown. So the two touchdowns they scored, it was when they marched down the field with Noah Cain, and when the one big explosive play was from the running back, Noah Cain. So I got the feeling they were trying to force some things that weren't there. But the things that they were doing that were successful, look up in the stats, when they threw the ball to their running backs, got them wide a bit, and sometimes it was just using their speed. And if you look at the stat sheet, it seemed like every running back had one or two. Ricky Slade had two catches for 42 yards. Journey Brown had one, 16 yards. Noah Cain, one for 13 yards. Devin Ford, one for 9 yards. Seems like they were pretty successful with it, but for large portions of the game, they would just totally get away from doing that. And by the way, on the Noah Cain series, they did do that and were successful. Why did they stop doing that?
Would you agree? I mean, just let's paint this with a broad brush. Would you agree that this is a Journey Brown, Noah Cain backfield now?
Boy.
His answer is yes. Now,
okay, let's go with that. They both look very good.
Now, Journey Brown has the most clearly defined marketable skill in that he has that speed, but he also has shown, big runs aside even, that a little crease might be all it takes.
Right.
He is very slippery, even when there's some traffic, which I didn't really know that about him until now. Noah Cain is the only one of these guys that I've seen that can actually push the pile. Journey Brown doesn't really have to because he seems to have a way of avoiding the pile. So there's that. I think, you know, using Noah Cain versus not using Noah Cain on that last drive, I've said this a bunch of times, having four running backs is a great opportunity, but it's a great responsibility too. And you're relying a lot on coaching when you don't have that decision made on a pecking order, that hot hand thing. You better have an idea of what you're doing. You better have a good finger on the pulse of the game itself to make these decisions. I don't think they had a plan. I don't think they had their finger on the pulse correctly. Otherwise, it seems like Noah Cain would have been an obvious choice.
And to that point, we talked all summer about Noah Cain being that guy. Remember the four-minute offense?
Yeah.
When you want to run the game out? And I believe Franklin's quotes were, Noah Cain's the guy. You just look every run. He turns the 3-yard run into a 4 or 5-yard run. Is that not the guy that you want in that four-minute offense?
Absolutely the skill set you need on the field there. Let's try to go through these points a little bit quickly. Because we're starting to run out of time. And when we hear James Franklin, we'll be able to elaborate some more on some of this stuff. The one thing, you know, that jumped out to me from Penn State's defense, there was a lot of bend, not that much break. Pat Narduzzi helped in that respect. Their game plan on both sides of the ball was a little different than I would have expected. Offensively, you know, to put the ball in Kenny Pickett's hands as much as they did, I didn't really see that coming, mainly because Kenny Pickett was awful last year. He was not good, and it's talking just about the Penn State game. So to watch him do what he did, James Franklin had some issues with the pass rush. Everybody had some issues with the pass rush. I think this pass rush at the end of the year, it leads the Big Ten in sacks, and you're like, did any one of those sacks really matter? You know, that's how I feel about this pass rush sometimes. They get there, but in a key moment, you know, in these situations where Pitt's driving again and again and again, did they make a timely sack? Maybe Shaka Toney's one. Maybe that helps. But, like, in key moments, I just never seem to see the pass rush. And, you know, a lot of credit goes to Kenny Pickett because he had a really good idea of how to move around in that pocket, how to move out of the pocket, how to step up in the face of pressure. He did a great – it was a great performance by him on Saturday. But Penn State still needs to do better.
It really was, but also at the line of scrimmage, I rewatched the game, so I am not like, say, Ross, who could just watch the game live and say, hey, the offense line did this or that. I have to watch it, pause it, and see what's going on. Pitt would send six guys or five guys, and Penn State would be double-teaming one defender, and another defender comes right through. When Penn State would blitz, it would seem like six Penn Staters are coming, six Pitt players are each one-on-one defending.
And I think that comes down to coaching too. Like I think that Pitt knew that there was going to be some degree of max protection required if they wanted to run what they wanted to run. So they built the whole game plan around having extra blockers home. Penn State seemed to have no idea that that pressure was coming early. And no, I don't think there was any response to it from a coaching standpoint. They were just on their heels for 30 minutes.
And we heard once more from James Franklin talking about how the opponent had a great game plan against them. Well, when is it that Penn State will have the great game plan against the other team? And one other thing you mentioned about not expecting this from Kenny Pickett. Well, I'm not sure Pitt planned on doing this, but maybe they went out there and said, gee, this running game thing isn't working. Maybe we should try plan B. Oh, this seems to be working. Throwing the ball and, you know, those screen passes where Penn State just seemed totally unprepared for them. So give their coaching staff credit for making that adjustment.
We talked about the running backs a little bit. We talked about the pressure from them. Is Penn State's defense ready for primetime? Like, this was supposed to be the unit, and I still think it's got that potential to be. But at the end of the day here, Penn State's given up, 30 points in three games? Like, that needs to be said. Pitt, Buffalo, Idaho also needs to be said. Is this the defense that can really lead this team to making a splash, you know, to winning a splashy game?
Obviously, they've been having their issues on third downs. They'd win first down, win second down, and then lose on third down or fourth down. So I think all the talent is there. And let's still remember, they shut Pitt out in the second half. They did. Despite the 300-some yards passing, Pitt didn't score in the second half of that game. And I think I've put a lot on the Penn State coaching and the mistakes. But the fact still is, Pitt was shut out for the second half of that game.
I think you got to take a win where you can find one there. I think, Kenny Pickett, I really think that Pitt is going to beat somebody this year. It's not out of Pat Narduzzi's reputation. It's not outside of Pitt's reputation. You know, they're going to be an 8-5 or 7-6 team, and they're going to beat somebody good because that seems to be what
they play hard.
They play hard, yeah. And I think their game plan can be tough, even for talented teams. All right, we're going to move on. We're still talking Penn State Pitt. We're going to hear from James Franklin, what he said after the game, and give our take as well.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.